Brother Shetler. It's recording.
Oh, okay.
It's going.
Amen. There we go. All right. Well, I have to tell you something. First of all, I had no idea that I was going to hear the music that I have heard the last 3 days. First of all, the choir, Lighthouse Baptist, is amazing. It was just fabulous last night. It was great Wednesday night. One of my all-time favorite groups that I just love hearing, my wife and I both do, is the Clark family. And we got to hear the Clark family Wednesday night at church, and then all day yesterday at the youth conference and the youth rally and whatever. And I have to tell you, Fran, I said, like, there is no way we're topping anything that I've heard already. And Fran, God's given you a beautiful voice. I'm just telling you, man, that was phenomenal. That was really good. By the way, I tell you what, it was so good. I'm starting Christmas tonight, you know. You know why I'm starting Christmas tonight? Because I'm going to listen to your CD you gave me, which is a Christmas CD, on the way back to my hotel tonight. So I guess I'm starting Christmas tonight, because I tell you what, that was just, I have thoroughly, I don't know how the, I don't think the preaching's been very good, but I'm telling you, the music has been tremendous at Lighthouse Baptist. And I get to hear the Clarks again tomorrow too. So, man, that has just been a real blessing. Hey, I got to tell you another real blessing. I'm just looking out at everybody and I'm thinking, whoa, wait a second here. I have two couples in here that I had the privilege to tie the knot and perform their wedding ceremony. Jeff and Karen Fieser, that was how many years ago? How many years you've been married?
16.
16 years ago, I did their wedding ceremony. Karen, I was a youth pastor for 7 years. Karen was one of my teenagers in my youth group. And I've known Jeff forever, it seems like. And I did their wedding ceremony 16 years ago. And I did Tim and Lexi's. How long has it been? About a year and a half ago, we did their wedding ceremony. So I'm kind of excited about it. And then all the newlyweds. Whoa, I changed my message over there. We're doing premarital counseling, man. Whoa. That is really amazing that there were, and then everyone just kept on. And I thought to myself, you know, I don't think they're understanding what he's saying. Why are they still standing? Okay, but I mean, like, there's like 4 or 5 couples that just got married. All right, and so I'm excited about all of that, and we're going to talk about this. I changed my message for tonight. I didn't change it. I just came up with one for tonight when he said falling in love. And I thought it was falling in love again. I thought there was a again on that, but it doesn't matter. But falling in love was the theme. So I went, okay, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. I'm going to give you 3 words. Now, we're going to have a little bit of an introduction, and especially, I wasn't sure I was going to do this, but especially when I saw those young couples, I said, no. We are going to definitely do my introduction. But let me tell you what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about 3 words about falling in love again. One is experience. I think the key to loving your spouse is experiencing God's love in your life. Let me tell you something. If you're experiencing the love of God in your life, you are going to be able to love your spouse. I think the foundation to me loving Marilee is God loving me. And I can love anyone if I'm experiencing the love of God in my life. And then number 2, we're going to talk about expressing your love. So because we've experienced the love of God, now you need to learn how to express your love to your spouse. And then, and I put this 3rd point in at the very end this afternoon, explore new ways to love. And I want to talk to you about that tonight. And I think some of you will go away with that as the biggest point. Explore new ways to love. So we're going to look at that. However, if you happen to have a Bible and a copy of the scriptures, take it and turn to the very first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter 1. Now, this is a perfect setting. We are in a gym. And you're allowed to yell in a gym. Amen. Amen. There you go, man. Amen. There you go. And now you're going to yell tonight. And you're going to yell one of two things. You're going to yell yes. Or you're going to yell no. I'm going to ask you a question. And as loud as you can, you are going to yell the answer out. You are not going to look at your spouse. You're not going to look at anyone else at the table. You're not going to discuss it. You are immediately going to shout it out. All right, so it's a yes or no question. You guys ready? 66 years. I'm hoping you got the right answer. Yeah, we're going to see. All right. I'm going to ask a question. It's a yes or no answer, and you are going to scream the answer. You're going to let it rip. Now listen, I teach homiletics. That's teaching people how to preach. And I tell my homiletics students, buddy, you better have a good introduction. Because if you don't have a good introduction, they're not going to listen to the rest of your message. So with your introduction, you got to get their attention. So guess what? You're my introduction. If I have a good introduction, it's because of you. And if I have a bad introduction, it's because of you. All right? So what makes this introduction good? You've got to yell the answer. All right? So I want to just see what it's going to sound like. All right? I'm not going to give you the question yet. But let's just hear what this is going to sound like. If you think, when I give the question, you think the answer is yes, let's see what that sounds like. All right? Here we go. Let's just try yes. Okay? 3, 2, 1.
Yes!
Oh no, that's not gonna do. That's not gonna do. Everyone together, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah!
A little bit better. It doesn't have to be real short now. You can let it out, alright? Alright, let's try no. Let's see what no is gonna sound like. 3, 2, 1.
No!
Okay, that's what I like. Let's try that one more. 3, 2, 1.
No!
Alright, here we go. Here's the question. You just shout it out. Just let it rip. My introduction is up to how loud you are. Are men and women equal?
Yes.
Are men and women equal?
Yes.
Hey, guys, help me out. Are men and women equal? We got too many newlyweds here. They don't know. They're just finding that out now. You know, I don't know. Are men and women equal? Well, let's see what the Bible says, all right? Take your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 1, and let's find out what God's Word says. Are men and women equal? Genesis chapter 1, look at verse 26. And God said, everyone together, what's the next word?
Us.
All right, this has nothing to do with my message. But there's no way that I cannot say this when I come to this passage. And God said, let us. That's not God and the angels, folks. That is God the Father. That is God the Son. And that is God the Holy Spirit. God does not have three parts. God is three persons. He is God the Father. He is God the Son. And he is God the Holy Spirit. And yet, he is one God. You say, Brother Sheldon, how can it be three persons and one God? It's called the Trinity. And it's taught in the very first chapter of the Bible. And God said, let us. Now, I need your help. So here we go. And God said, let us make everyone together. What's the next word?
Man.
Okay, now, that does not refer to male masculinity. That doesn't refer to men. That refers to mankind. And God said, let us make man, mankind, in our image.
Right.
Now let me share this with you. I know this is sure woke, I gotta tell you, that's politically incorrect, but it is Bible. Folks, there is only one race of people on planet Earth.
Yeah.
And that is the human race. That's all there is, folks. We are all part of the human race. The Bible says, and God said, let us make man, mankind, in our image. We were not created The same way the rhinos were, the elephants, the giraffes, the reptiles, or the birds. We were created in the image of God. Now let me tell you how important that is. And we're not talking about a physical resemblance. Oh, we were created like God because that we have arms or we have ears or eyes. No. We were created in the image of God, and God is a spirit. And we that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And let me share this with you. God created us with a God consciousness, with an eternalness. And by the way, since we have an eternalness with us, we will never be satisfied with anything on this earth. So if you got a dog or you got a cat, and you take that golden retriever and you put it on its back and you rub its belly and you stick a bone in its mouth, I'm telling you, that's as good as it ever will get for that dog. But that is not true for man. Man will never be satisfied with anything on this earth, because in man, we were created in the image of God, and there's an eternalness in us. The only one that will satisfy man is God, because we have that eternal. That's not true with his animals. That's not true with his creation, but it is true with us. Let us make man in our own image, in the image of God created man. Now look over at verse 27. So God created man, speaking of mankind, in his own image. In the image of God created he everyone together. What's the next word? Him. Created he him. We're still speaking of mankind. Now, everyone, are men and women equal? Look what happens. Male and female created he everyone together. What's the last word? Whoa, whoa. What just happened? We just went from singular form to plural form. Everything up in these last two verses has been created man, mankind, human race. And then it says, male and female created he them. You say, okay, first I'm not sure the catch. Okay, well, here's the catch. Are men and women equal? Yes! If we are dealing with value, worth, and importance, amen? Men and women, Jesus Christ died for every woman in this room. And Jesus Christ died for every man in this room. Jesus Christ has a will for every man in this room, a plan for every man in here. And Jesus Christ has a plan and a purpose for every female in this room. If we're talking about equality of value, worth, and importance, men and women are equal. There's the answer. Yeah, no. Are men and women equal? No, they're not equal. They're not equal in role, responsibility, and function. We're not equal. We're not the same. Every woman here has a different role, responsibility, and function in your marriage than your husband does. So you're equal in value, but you're not equal in role and responsibility. And you're saying right now, that was a trick question, Brother Sean. And that's exactly what it was.
Yes.
Are men and women equal? Yes! And no. You say, Brother Sean, I'm sorry, but I have all day today. And I just can't believe you're going to have a trick. You're going to have to help. Well, I knew that. So I brought something with me. I brought something with me. Everyone together. What did I bring all the way from Milton, Florida? I brought a what? Everyone together. A what? A what? What do you say, a thermos? An eagle? No. I brought a man. This is a man. It's blue. Hey, come on. It's a man. Down. It's going to be done. Oh, there goes the tape recorder. I didn't bring that with me. I put that tape recorder back there. Everyone together, I brought a what? Man, mom. Got duct tape. Man, I got a man. Okay, what else I brought? Now, don't tell my wife, but on our 10th wedding anniversary, I bought my wife 8 Bohemian crystal cut goblets. And I got one of them with me right now. Not only did I bring a man, everyone together, I brought a... No, it's a goblet. Now listen to this. Hey, you newlyweds, you're going to learn more in the next 6 minutes than you have learned in the last 6 months, okay? I'm serious. You can put ice cream here. You can put ice cream here. You can put milk in here. You can put milk in here. You can put water in here. You can put water in here. You can put lemonade in here. You can put lemonade in here. You can put Dr. Pepper in here. You can put Dr. Pepper in here. Whatever you put in this, you can put in this. In other words, every one of us can contain the Holy Spirit. However, this has a different function than this. This is a different role. You can put on steam, you can put on steam in your head. You come visit me down in Florida, and we go to the beach, we'll pack a lunch, and we'll take you with us. Marilee, you're going to come home, we're going to have a nice dinner. Mary will put the fontana out, and we'll put this in each one of the plates. We can put the same thing in it, but it has a completely different role and has a completely different responsibility. Let me tell you what's happening in America. These are acting like this. And I'm telling you something. I travel all over. I go to camp all summer long. These are acting more and more like these. It's unbelievable what has happened. You see, Satan knows that if you can destroy the distinction between the roles, responsibilities, and functions of male and female, you will bring confusion. Hey, is there confusion in our culture right now? Well, and that confusion leads to conflict. Oh, no, I don't know what you're thinking. That's not my role. That's your job. Hey, I expected you to do that. Oh, I don't know what you're thinking here, but that's not my role. That's you need to be doing that. There's conflict, but you can't live with conflict. So you begin to compromise the way God created you.
Yeah.
And then there's corruption of what God created. Let me tell you right now. If you're married, raise your hand. That should be everyone. Okay. If you're married, raise your hand. Okay. Listen to me. The Bible says marriage is honorable above all, and the bed undefiled. Hey, I want to tell you this, friend, and I share this from the bottom of my heart. If you're married right now, you've done an honorable thing. Look at the person next to you right now. That would be your spouse, by the way. Look at the person next to you right now and say, hey, you're an honorable thing. Amen. Don't go. Right? Listen to you. By the way, you coming to this tonight is an honorable thing. That you spend some time tonight and say, you know what? We're going to center on our marriage. Man, we need marriages. I'm going to tell you this, you young couples, you newlyweds, listen to this. Marriage is not rocket science. You figure out what gender you are. You all got that?
And
then you know what you do? You fulfill the responsibility of that gender.
Yeah.
You fulfill the role of your gender, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a successful marriage. Greatest thing of it all. By the way, look at this. Oh, this is the coolest thing about the whole gender. Jessica, and you? Is that her? That's her. Okay. Listen, this is worth everything tonight. Are you guys ready? Now listen. There is no question that this. I love you, but I don't trust you. Now, that'd be good.
Testament. Mm-hmm. Right? There's no question this is the New Testament. But weaker does not mean inferior. This vessel is not inferior to this vessel.
Right.
If I don't come home with that, maybe lost. I better come home with this. If there's more value, there's more value in this than there is in this. But the fact of the matter is, this is the weaker vessel. Now listen to me. You guys want to know what your roles are? Here it is. Greatest seed of a woman. Security. Protection. Greatest seed of a man. Respect. Affirmation. And look at it right now. Ladies, you give your man respect and affirmation, he will be all over protecting you. Oh yeah. He'll provide, he'll protect, and he'll be, because he's getting what his greatest need is. And I want to tell you something, guys. You give your wife security, and you make your wife number one, and I will guarantee it, she'll respect you. You give her security, you give her protection, you give her leadership, and buddy, she will honor, respect you. And girls, if you're going, well, he doesn't seem to be the leader, well, maybe you're not giving the respect to him that you should get. It works. God created this, and it works. You understand what your role is, you understand what your responsibility is, and you fulfill that. Men and women, are they equal? Well, yes, they're equal in value and worth, but they're not equal in their role and their responsibility. Let me encourage you to fulfill those. If you have your Bibles now, would you take them and turn over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And I want to talk to you a little bit about love tonight. 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to ask the Lord to be with our time. This will not take that long. The introduction is probably longer than the message even. But let me just share a couple things with you tonight. I want the Lord to help me. Father, it's been a real blessing to be at Lighthouse Baptist. And Father, it's a real honor. You know, I look at all the different groups. We've spoken to the church. What a blessing yesterday with those young people and the way that they received the word. You know, Lord, we have couples here tonight, some just recently married, that, Father, I pray that there will be a love between both of them. Father, I pray that the covenant that they made with each other and the covenant that they made with you will last till death do them part. And you know, Father, in the day and age we live today, I don't know if there's any way that we can be better salt and better light in our culture than to be the husband and the wife that you created us to be. Father, I really believe, not only our children, I really believe a lot of people are watching our marriages. And Lord, I know Satan is. And I pray tonight that we would help these couples love each other. And that, Lord, I believe that the foundation of that is experiencing your love to them. So Lord, just work in our hearts tonight and guide me, direct me where you want me to go, and what you don't want me to say, may I not say. But Father, as we've already just talked, you love every one of us. You love every woman here, and you love every man here. Now God, may we love each other. And I just pray that you'd be with our time together. These couples, there's people that drove an hour away. There's people that came, that they made an effort to be here tonight. God, I pray that they will leave and go, boy, that was so good. I needed that tonight. And Lord, I do take a moment. I do pray for these newlywed couples. God, may they start off right. And then, Lord, I pray and ask, Lord, for these that have been married for a long time, maybe they do need to fall in love again. And Lord, we know that love is not a permanent fixture. We got work at it. And so I pray we'll learn some things tonight to work on our love relationship. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said,
amen.
See, that's the proof I'm 65. When I was younger, I'd be all that.
Now you get that for me, will you? Okay.
1 John chapter, and I got reading glasses too. I'm getting old, all right?
1 John chapter 4, look with me at verse number 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. Now you hear that. If you're struggling loving your spouse, you know what? How's your relationship with God? Look at verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. No. Not that we loved God. No, that's not it. But that he loved us. By the way, God's people said, amen. And sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. You know, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected, made complete, mature in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Now, look down at verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love, well, he abides, he remains, he dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, mature, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, if you were, I don't think I'm going to be able to do it tonight. Oh yeah, I will. If you were to take my wedding ring that my wife gave to me as a token of her covenant and love to me 42 years ago, and if you were to look on the inside of the wedding ring, she had a passage engraved. She had a reference engraved, and here's the reference. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. For the rest of your life, if you ever go through a season in your covenant relationship with your spouse that seems dry, if you ever go through some weeks or months, a period of time that you go, okay, I'm not going anywhere, I'm not leaving her, I'm not leaving him, there's no other person, I'm not having an affair or anything like that, but I just got to tell you, I just lost. I'm committed, I love her and I love him, but boy, it just, we're just kind of going through the motions. If that ever happens, I want to share something with you that will help you. I know, go ahead, preach to me. I need to start loving him more. I need to start loving her more. I need to make her more. No. If you ever go through a period of time that your walk with your spouse is not what it used to be, here's what I encourage you to do. This is going to be the greatest advice I could ever give a married couple. Go back to the love of God in your life. Experience again God's love for you. And if you experience again how much God loves you, I'm going to tell you, it will rekindle your love towards your spouse. And I will also tell you something else. Okay? I'm being transparent because I want to help you. 42 years of marriage with Marilyn, never did the D word ever come up? Yeah, not much. That was the death to us part. Marilee and I, we believed in murder, but never divorced. 40 She is without a doubt my best friend. And I will tell you, right now, we're both 65. I really mean this. And I think Mary Lou would say the same thing. I think that our friendship, our love, our partnership, and our intimacy is better today than it's ever been. I do. But I am going to tell you this. I'm a liar if I didn't say this. Jim, did you ever have in 42 years some seasons that you weren't going to leave your wife, nobody else was in your life, maybe your wife, or anything like that, but it just wasn't like it used to be? Yes. And I might even tell you it was maybe even been several times. Yes, I'm being honest. But you know what I've connected? Go back and look at those times, Jim. And almost without an exception, every time there was a little bit of a loss of that love for my wife, I wasn't doing well spiritually either. And I was drifting away from God. Never have I been close to God than I haven't been close to Mary Lee in 42 years. I want to tell you right now, if you guys are missing a little something in your marriage, I'll tell you where to start. Yeah, we're going to do a little getaway. Okay, you know what? I'm all about this. I really am. I don't like a getaway team. I'm telling you. I love getaways. And Mary Lee does too. But I'm telling you, that's not the key. Hey, we need to probably go to like a marriage conference or something. I'm all about this. I don't just goes all the time. Man, I do that all the time. I'm all about it. I'm telling you. If there's not what there should be between you and your spouse, can I tell you this? Instead of working immediately horizontal on that, work vertical. Because if you begin to experience the love of God again in your life, I'm going to tell you right now, it will be amazing what will happen to you and your spouse. So if you're losing them a little bit with your spouse, go this way before you go out this way. And see the way that God loves you. I have an illustration that I give to teenagers. I'm at a camp or somewhere. I show them, I say, okay, now, everyone, I want to show you the most beautiful woman in the world. They all think I'm going to put a picture of my wife up. No, I don't. Your mother? No. But just hold on. So I said, I'm going to say it right now. This is the most valuable woman in all the world. And I put it up on the screen. Boom. Picture of Mona Lisa comes up. Now let me tell you something. Mona Lisa is not a good-looking woman. I'm telling you, she's not a good-looking woman. And her husband was a merchant in Venice. Okay, very commonplace. She's worth over $700 million. $700 million. For a merchant's wife who is very plain looking, where is her value? It is not in Mona Lisa. It's who's paid it, Mona Lisa. And I want to tell you tonight, your value, friend, is not in your voice. You got a great voice, bro. I really mean that. By the way, you do too. But I'm telling you, that is not what your value is. Your value is in who painted you. Your value is in what God has made. And everything about you, He so loved you that the way that He created, the gender that He created you, the place that He created, everything about you is because of an expression of His love. Well, why aren't I a little bit taller then? Why aren't my ears a little closer to my head? Why is this complexion? Why did I go through that? Why am I? And all of those gave you needs that you had to rely more on His love. All those things that happened in your life was for you to love Him more because of all that He loves you and for Him to prove His love to you. He made you just the way that He is because He does love you. Focus on how He loves you. Focus on abiding with Him, and you draw near to God, and you go back to how much God loves you, and I'm going to tell you, your marriage will change.
Your marriage will change. Second thing I want to talk to you about. Number one, if you kind of need to fall in love again with your spouse, experience God's love for you. Number two, express your love. Now, I wrote down three words because I like to alliterate stuff. You could do it a lot of different ways, but maybe this helps you remember. I don't know. But I think that the three key ways to express love are these three. You could use some different interchangeable words, but I think these are the three ways to express love to that person who's sitting next to you right now. Number one, time. You just know that about it. There's no doubt. Now, my wife's love language is quality time. But I don't think it matters. I don't think there's a woman in here that doesn't say, I gotta have time. I gotta have that. And by the way, guys, this I think is so interesting, man. I just talked to you for a minute. Who was it that knew that it wasn't good that man should be alone? Well, that was God. No, it wasn't. It was God. Oh, yeah, I mean, obviously, Adam and Eve was alone and it wasn't good. The Bible doesn't say that. I honestly think, because I'm a man, I don't think he had a clue. I don't think he had a clue. By the way, that is the first time that everything that God created, that it says it's not good. The first time that something's not good, you know what the first time that God said it wasn't good? That man should be alone. That is the first time that God said this is not good. Everything I have done is good. But I tell you what's not good? Man is never going to relate to me because he doesn't have any woman to relate to. And I'm going to tell you, women need time. They need quantity time and they need quality time. And that's something I learned. Quality time comes out of quantity time, guys. And some of you newlyweds, we ain't learned that yet. But I'm telling you, that's true. Now, see, let me tell you something, girls, about us. I just tell you right now, Lexi. Tim can focus for a minute on the way. He can give you quality time in 5 minutes. Okay, I better work this way. I can come home for lunch. And Mary Lee said, hey, Tim, I need to talk to you about a couple things. You could? You can do it. Which guy? I got about 18 minutes before I go back. Which guy? My God. Yeah. I got some time right now. I turn the TV off. You can finish my sandwich. Go ahead. You got 16 minutes. Go. Which guy? You know what? Jim, I have some things I need to talk to you about. I know, Murphy. And I'm locked in and loaded, man. Let's go. 14 minutes. What do you got? Jim, I need to talk to you. I do. And you still got a couple minutes. You're wasting the time. Now, you know what? Just forget it, Jim. Yeah, I got to tell you something. She needs quantity time to get to the quality time.
Yes.
Now, here. Guys, I have thought this, trust me, way before, I'm 65, so I thought this before, you got to think, I don't know why God didn't make them both like men. I don't know. That's the whole point. We would have never related with God, because I'm going to tell you something. Our quality time with God comes out of our quantity time with God. If you're not spending quality time with God, you ain't having quality time with God. And guess who taught me that? Mary. And I want to tell you something, man. There is no way that you're going to express your love to your wife any greater than time. Let me give you a few time things. Number one, second time. Oh boy, that's a little romantic. Yeah, my wife is on my good time. My wife's on my plan. There's scheduled time. When we were back at the West Coast this past 8 weeks, we had scheduled time together every day. We did our lunch together. We were back in the little mission's house. And we had our lunch together every day for 8 weeks. We had scheduled time. Whoa. That was really romantic. Well, you know what? I got two others. But scheduled time is important. And that will bring a lot of security to your wife, guys, when you schedule your wife at certain times.
But that's not the only thing. You got to be spontaneous. We're going to talk about this in the last point a little bit more. But I think there's got to be spontaneous times. I mean, you're just sitting at the table, and you just like, I'm going to kiss my wife. And you just reach over there. No, this wasn't planned. It wasn't scheduled. Oh, it's just fine. It's totally spontaneous. Those times are important. I'll tell you another time. And we'll talk about this in the last point. Surprise time. Surprise time. By the way, special time is good, too. And if we're going to spend the rest of sex time, it's good, too, okay? I mean, all these times are important. Every one of these times are important in a marriage. But there's got to be time. By the way, what does the Bible say? Dwell with them according to knowledge. We're supposed to be there in order to dwell with them. There's got to be time. Number two. It's treasure. There is no greater treasure than your spouse. That is the most valuable treasure you have on this earth, more than your children. And we do have an amen right there.
Yeah.
I'm telling you,
right.
All these couples, they're more focused on their children. The greatest mom in here is a good wife. And the greatest daddy that's in this room right now is a good husband.
Right.
You will never do anything more for your children than love your spouse. Nothing. You'll never do anything greater for your children than that your children know that you love each other. I'm just telling you that right now. So I'm going to tell you something. You got a treasure. Now, I don't want all these points to go towards the men, but the guys, I'm going to talk to you about this. This is a big deal with security. We had a couples, and every Thursday night, we would have these young couples over and we would watch a video. It was a series. I'll tell you how long ago this was. It was VHS.
Yeah.
Okay, so this was a long time ago, all right? And it was a guy named Gary Small. I don't agree with anything with Gary Small, but he had some good stuff on there. So every Thursday night, I think there was about 9, 10, 11 couples, so it'd be about 20 of us. When we get together and we watch these videos, I'll never forget this one. Beginning of the video, the VHS, Gary Smalley comes out on the platform. There's got 3,000 people there. I mean, a huge conference center. And Gary Smalley comes out. And everyone's clapping and everything like that. And he looks down and he sees a guy. I think he's on the third row. He says, "Sir, sir, yeah, you have it. Yeah, yeah, sir, right there. Sir, would you stand up for a minute?" Guy stands up. The guy is big. He's thick, he's big. I mean, he looks like he's 6'4", 6'5", 6'6". He's a big guy, and he is thick. I mean, he is. And Gary Sloan says, do you lift weights? Everyone kind of laughed, because he was like, no, this guy lifts weights. He says, yeah. He said, I need to help him. Come on. So the guy gets up there on the platform, and when he gets up on the platform, you know why the other guy's called Gary Sloan? I mean, Gary, you're a big guy. And this guy's huge, and he's like, he's just a big weight. And Gary says, hey, listen, I think you can help me with something. Hey, guys, bring it out, man. Go ahead, bring it out. And three guys come out. One guy's pushing one of those carts like the Home Depot with Lowe's, those flat carts. One guy's pushing the cart. There's one man on one side of the cart. There's a man on the other side of the cart. And there's one guy pushing it. And on the cart, there's a pedestal. And on the pedestal, there's a violin. And next to the violin is a ball. And he pushes it up. And Gary Small says, "Hey, my guys, I need you to do something. I think you're the guy that can do it. You look pretty strong. Would you go over there and pick that up and bring that over here to me?" And the guy says, "The cart? No, not the cart. The violin. Just go pick the violin." "You want me to go pick the violin?" "Yeah, man. Do you nail it?" "Okay, yeah." So the guy starts walking over to the violin. And as he starts walking over to the violin, Gary Small starts talking about the violin. He said, "I came up that violin. It was made in the 1700s. It has a lacquer on it that's never been reproduced. It's got a sound to it that the sound has never been reproduced in a laboratory. Hey, I got to tell you about that. There's only, I think, 12 of those left in the world. Hey, bud, you're about to pick up a He said, go ahead and pick that up and put that over here. It's worth that. Remember, this is VHS, and so this is the early 80s when they were made. Today, I'm going to tell you just a minute how this will work, but he says that violin is worth $1.2 million. Today, they're over $15 million a piece. The guy looked at it. And the guy looks at it, and I'll never forget what happens in the next 3 minutes. The guy picks up the violin, he doesn't even pick up the bow. I mean, this big guy, he picks up the violin, and he starts walking like this. He starts walking, and Gary Smalley says, is it heavy? No, there's no way anything happened here. $1.2 million violin. He brings it out over, and Gary Smalley says this. Is your wife down there sitting? Is she worth more than the Stradivarius violin? And he says, yeah, my wife's worth more than the Stradivarius violin. Yeah, my wife's worth more than $1.2 million. What Gary Smalley says next changed my marriage. Gary Smalley said, now let me ask you, do you treat your wife the way you're treating that violin right now? And all of us in the room, we were in the great room, we just went, oh, all those guys. Over the last 30 years, I have never forgotten that. And there are times that I'm so upset with Mary that this happens or this happens, and God brings that to my mind. Don't you? Stradivarius. Oh, don't bring me that. I don't know. I'm going to pull some strings right now. I don't know. You know what? Let me tell you something. Express your love by making your spouse. By the way, girls, you give value and praise to your husband. Your husband needs verbal praise. By the way, I'm looking around right now, and I don't really see anyone of any other nationalities really or anything. Can I tell you right now, the most disrespected person in American culture? Middle-aged white man. I'm serious. Middle-aged white man is the most disrespected person in the culture. You can be a transgender person and be popular, but you are a white male in between 30 and 60, you are buffoon. You're a biological animal, you don't know how to make a decision, and you're the greatest need of a man is respect. The greatest need of a man is respect. Girls, I want to tell you something. Your husband needs a cheerleader. And your husband will always be vulnerable to where he gets praise. And if he runs away with another woman, no, he may get more praise from his buddies. There's nobody in this room, and there's nobody in your husband's life that he ought to get more respect from than you and more praise from. He needs you, man. So I'm going to tell you, you honor, you respect, you give him treasure. There's no greater treasure that you have, lady, than that man sitting next to you right now. And guys, I'm telling you, she is the treasure of treasures in your life. Express your love through time. Express your love through treasure. And I did put one more. I think this is so good. Express your love by doing things together. There is something about doing things together. Now, I'm doing a lot of traveling. I forget your name. What's your name?
Matt.
Yeah.
You're a nice guy.
Matt, too, because Matt wanted to preach. That's it. I really like to preach, you know. We love him because he first loved us. So anyway. Man, let me say this. Merrily and I, right now in our lives, I'm traveling. I have less on my plate than I have had in the last 40 years of ministry. And I'll come home after a weekend, and I got 3 or 4 days with Mary, and you know what? She said, well, Jim, what do you want to do? And I'm not trying to sound like, oh, I'm going to wait for it. But I need this. I don't care what we do, honey. I want to go to Hobby Lobby. Times in this life, she barely said, you know, Jim, You have never wanted to do things together as much as I want to do it around the way. I think when I get back, I want to do this. I want to do it with you. And you know what? And I know Steve, so you're with your spouse all the time. But I tell you, there's something about doing gardening together. There's something about doing housework together. Come on, girls, you're only now. There's something about doing stuff together. Guys, express your love, men and women. And by the way, girls, go visit where your husband enjoys being. And do things together with your husband that your husband loves. Express your love. Experience God's love. Express your love. And I think the way is time, togetherness, and treasure. Okay, last thing, and we're done. And I'm going to take a long time on this, because this point's developing. This point's evolving still. Explore new ways to love each other. Now, some of you, there's another one, you have me up to this point. This is just not, I'm just that kind of that faithful guy, I'm just that faithful woman, I'm not creative, I don't, you know what? I love my spouse, she knows I'm there, he knows that I'm there, and we're not coming. You just gotta add stuff to your marriage. And don't ever stop adding new stuff to your marriage. Explore new ways to express your love. I teach this class called Joshua, on the book of Joshua. And there's one little story. I love this story. After they crossed the Jordan River, it's like in chapter 3. It's actually chapter 3. They crossed the Jordan River, and they're supposed to build this memorial. Do you know what Joshua does? He's not commanded to do this. They were commanded to make a memorial to remember what God had done. But Joshua does something. Does anyone know what Joshua goes and does? While the water is still burning, they went over on dry ground with the Red Sea. They went over on dry ground with the Jordan River. While it was still dry ground, Joshua went back into the river and built his own little altar. Did God tell him to do that? No! He just wanted to do it. And he knew the water was going to come to God. He knew no one was ever going to see it. But he just wanted to build his own little altar. It's a promise. He's talking about 4 verses. But there's these 4 verses. Joshua went back into the river, and he built his own little altar. God never told him to do it. Why did he do that? This is like the greatest day of my life. We've waited 400 years. We're in the promised land. This is like the greatest thing in the world. God, I just got to express my thanks to you. I'm going back into my own altar. And he builds his own altar. He said, Josh, what's your point? This is my point. This will change your marriage. Explore new ways to love. What are your names? What's your name? Bob. Bob and Mary, listen to me. Listen to me. I got a feeling divorce isn't in the future. Bob and Mary, I got a feeling divorce isn't in the future. But I am telling you this in the bottom of my heart, and I mean this with all my heart. I don't know what God's got left for you guys together. I don't know how many years you guys got. Don't stop exploring new ways to love this guy. Don't stop exploring new ways to love her. Like a 2-day-old married couple. Okay, you guys been for how long? Now listen to me. 2 weeks, you don't need to do much exploring right now. You're fine. Everything is an exploration right now. Guys, I'm telling you, from the bottom of my heart, keep exploring new ways to love. Keep exploring new ways to love. Ask God for creativity. Ask God to show you something different. I drove all the way over here from Ohio, I went to a meeting in Ohio, and I was thinking when I got home, what if I could do something different in Maryland? I think I got something different. I said, Lord, help, do something, I want to do something a little different when I get back and see Maryland. Guys, explore new ways to love your spouse. That's going to keep things going well. I think you can do it in physical intimacy, I think you can do it with gifts, I think you can do it with talk. I think you can do it with places you go to. I think there's all different kinds of ways that you can explore. Don't let your marriage just go like, well, we just love each other and we'll love each other. I know you will. I know you will. I don't know if anyone here is going to get a divorce. But listen, you don't want just a marriage of commitment. You want a marriage of charity. And to get that marriage of charity, explore new ways to keep it fresh and new. And by the way, that works this way too. Did you know that, Lord, I'm faithful. And I'm not going to leave my wife and all my husband. And we're going to love each other. But God, I want to fall in love with you with my spouse. And I just want to share this with you. You guys have listened well. We've got a long time. But I just want to encourage you. If you kind of lost a little bit in that marriage, experience the love of God. I'm telling you, if you begin to experience God's love, you're gonna start remembering how He's forgiven you. You'll forgive your spouse of all the little things and stuff. And then express your love. And I think you express it through time, treasure, and what's the other one?
Together.
Yeah, that's a good one too. That's a good one. And then I just want to encourage you. Explore. Keep your marriage fresh. Explore new ways to love your spouse. Are men and women equal? Yeah. In value and worth and importance. Are men and women equal? No. Not in role, not in responsibility, not in function. And as you guys honor each other, respect each other, and love each other, man, I gotta tell you, right now, we need good marriages so badly in our culture. Pennsylvania needs good marriages. There's no better way to exemplify Jesus Christ right now than being the woman God created and being the man that God created. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. You know what? It's just up to you. No one's looking around. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I don't know your name, and I can only not see you again after tonight when we get to heaven. But look at you. How many in this room tonight? You can't experience the love of God if you don't know Christ. He is the love of God. How many people in this room have come into a personal relationship with Christ, and nothing can ever separate you from that love now? You trusted Christ as your Savior. It's not a performance. God loved you. You believe that. You asked Christ to forgive you of your sin. To be saved. You ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You know that He loves you. You have a relationship with Him. If that's who is here, you're here all over the room. You know Christ is your Savior. Okay, now listen. If you don't leave here tonight. Don't talk to Jill. Don't talk to me. And say, man, I just got to tell you, I couldn't do this right now. I don't know for sure that I'm a child of God. Man, let us help you. That's the start of everything. You'll never be the husband or the wife until you know Christ. But let me encourage you. How many of you would say, can I very honestly, nobody's looking, I'm the only one in the Holy Spirit. How many would say, you know, for Shepard, that whole first point on experiencing God's love again. I gotta tell you, I don't think my problem is with my spouse or my children or people in the church. I think that I have fallen from my love for Christ, and I think I've got to experience His love again. And I'll just be honest with you, what you said about experiencing the love of Christ again in my life, I really believe that's like the key to everything. And I sense that I have fallen from that. And tonight, I just want to get back into God's love. I just want to experience His love and favor and grace and mercy on me again. And Jim, I just want to focus my heart on His love in my life. And God really spoke to me tonight about this. I think I felt a little unloved. And I need to begin My whole thing with my marriage was experiencing the love of God again. And tonight, I want to start that journey again with God and experience that love. If that's true in your life, would you raise your hand? Are there some of you? Amen. Good. Amen. Some of you. Amen. Hey, you know what? I'm telling you, you start experiencing God's love again. It's going to change all of your relationships. How many of you would say this? You know, Brother Shepard, that expressing of the love. Wow. Time. I'm not giving the quantity or the quality. It's just not happening. And I know that I need to express my love to my spouse better. With time, I need to treasure her. I need to treasure him. And you know what? We just need to start doing things together again. We have gotten away. We just kind of lived two separate lives under the same roof. And God spoke to my heart tonight about time together, about treasuring my spouse, and about doing things together. And I'm making a commitment right now. And I'm going to tell my spouse, when we get out of the car tonight, I'm going to tell her or him, hey, I just want you to know, I'm going to treasure you more. I'm going to do more time, and we're going to start doing some things together. God spoke to my heart tonight, and I'm going to tell you right now, Brother Shepard, I'm making a decision about these three areas, or at least one of the three. And I'm going to tell my spouse tonight on the way home, I'm going to share with you about this. And if you keep with another couple, when we get home, I'm going to talk to her or him tonight about an area that God spoke to my heart about. Brother Shepard, I'm making a commitment to that. That's huge. You raise your hand all over the room. Amen. That's good. That's good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And then let me encourage you. How many would say, you know what? I'm going to explore. I want, this is not me. I cannot tell you how much this is not me, Brother Shepard. But you know what? I think you're onto something. And I want to keep my marriage fresh. And I want to explore. I want, God, you're going to have to help me. There's no way I got to have your grace. I am totally helpless in this area. I mean, doing stuff new or different, responsible. This is just not me at all. But I do think God put that on my heart tonight, and I want to start doing that, and I'm going to need the Holy Spirit's help. But I want to explore new ways to love my spouse. I really do. I think that was a good point. God spoke to my heart about that, and I'm going to start praying and ask the Lord to give me new ways to love my spouse. If that's true, would you raise your hand all over? Amen. That's really cool. And Father, I pray that our marriages, which is a picture of Christ's relationship with us, will be stronger because we came to my house tonight. I thank the Lord for the music we've heard, for the great meal and snacks and refreshment and fellowship we've had. But thank you, Lord, for the instruction that you've given me. And Lord, I do want to say this. I pray these 3 points that we would marry into. Lord, I needed what I said tonight as much as any person in this room. So Lord, I pray that for me too. And I want to just ask you, Lord, help me. Help me explore new ways to love Mary, and I pray for all those that raised their hand a minute ago. I pray that you'll give them that too. And that our marriages will be stronger because we did this tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and God's children said, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. That was good stuff, huh?
Yes.
And, there we go. Well, I appreciate that. You know, First Corinthians 13 talks about the love chapter, and of course it talks about in Old King James Bible always uses the word charity, and I said, well, the author says love. Well, charity is the agape. It's the same word. And I've often mentioned that, that's what God gave us. He didn't save us because we deserved it. He gave us charity. When you give away, if you give something to charity, what do you expect to get back? nothing. And our love, you know, yes, we need to reciprocate the love of our spouse, but we have to have a love that's so pure, that's God's love. And of course, love is of God. Neither loveth is born of God, and knoweth not God, and knoweth God, for he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And so that pure love is going to give it, whether they get anything in return or not. That's our love. Well, I enjoyed that. I hope that was a blessing to you. I did bring back one sad memory. When I was a kid, there was a place in Westminster, Maryland called Bobby's Hobby Lobby. Remember Bobby's Hobby Lobby? And it had trains and RC cars, and they had slot, great big slot car track right in there, you know. Now that's what you call a Hobby Lobby. Now about, it's been 18 years ago or so. I was in Evansville, Indiana. I was about ready to, I was recording one of my CDs there, Faith Music Mission. And we got finished recording that day, and I was there, I had gone down there all by myself, and I looked out the hotel window, and there was this great big thing. I'd never seen one of these. It said Hobby Lobby. And it was huge. And I thought, you know, I'm going to go in there and just soak it in for a couple of hours. Nobody's here. My wife's in Maryland. I'm not going to, you know, I went in there and I opened that door. It was vases and flowers. And I kept looking. There's got to be a train, a model train or a race car or something somewhere. It was nothing. I wanted to complain for false advertisement, but it broke my heart. Hey, I appreciate you being here tonight. God bless you. And we're going to leave these tables up for tomorrow. Is that correct? Okay. So if just want to get rid of our trash, really, basically. And by the way, I want to show appreciation. Miss Amy, would you stand up? And any of the ladies that helped, of course, some of them aren't here. I think they headed out. I think some of them were helping with the little kids across. But if you helped set up this evening, anybody else in here that helped set up, stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Maria, stand up. Stand up. Yeah, I know we got some others around here. And I know there were some of the young gals. I think they were probably over here helping Pastor Brent with the kids there. Give them a hand. Would you do that? I appreciate that. I know we've had an awful lot this week, and we've kind of plugged a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and had all kinds of things going on. But I think it's been a good week, and I really appreciate Brother Shetler. I scheduled him to preach 12 times Wednesday through Sunday, and that wasn't enough. He came in to do two more this afternoon for the school. And so you can't keep the good man down. I appreciate it. And anything else we need to tend to? Ms. Amy, anything? Anything else we need to tend to? We're all good? Now tomorrow, for all the singles and the teens, we'll start about 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. We'll go to about 3 o'clock. It's still time to give them a call, help them come in. Brother Jim will be speaking as well as some of the Clarks, and we'll have good music. The Clark family's going to be back. The kids ate that up. We had a great crowd here on Thursday, a lot of the Christian schools, and they came in. It was a great day. Lord has just really blessed us, and I want to encourage you. Bring it down. Not too late for them to be here. Make a phone call when you get home. God bless you. You have a safe trip, and we will see you at another time. Good night. What? What's the matter?
Push the square button.